Let me tell you what I want us to do in our time, and I want to be relatively short, I think. I want us to review basic fundamentals of something and practice basic fundamentals of something that almost all of us already know. In fact, I don't think I'm going to tell you anything you don't know. I don't think I'm going to invite us to do anything that we haven't done as a church family before. But what's funny for me is the better we get at this, I actually want us to do this more. So it's not like as we grow in our awareness of and communion with the Spirit of God, as we grow in discernment and ability to pray and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't want us to practice that any less. I want us to practice all the time, not just to grow in our own delight and discernment in the presence of God, but to realize that there's this amazing tension we live in all the time. God wants to grow us in terms of our communion with him and our delight in him. And he loves to use his people to bless his people. Does that make sense? So what that means is if we value spirit-filled ministry, we don't just say, well, that's a distinctive of our church, so we try to fit that in from time to time. We're like, no, if we understand that that's rooted in a desire to commune with God himself, to receive the fullness of all he has for us, and to understand that he's appointed us to distribute the fullness of all that he is to others, God loves to give gifts to the saints through you. And he loves to bless you in the process of just teaching you to delight in him and to discern his voice and to walk in his power. So what I want to do is I want to talk about how we contend for a ministry of pursuit and prayer and prophetic blessing as we walk as the people of God. And I use the word contend really seriously. And I've kind of like, I think I've lived long enough and seen how hard-hearted all of us are as human beings, long enough that I am more aware of what I was, like I could get the answer correct on the test 30 years ago, that only God builds the church. I know that. I know that only God builds the church, but now I know that in a different way. Hey guys, we can do amazing programs. We can launch amazing initiatives. We can curate beautiful services, but only God can build the church. And I actually believe that now in a way that makes me want to cry out for the Spirit of God to move among the people of God in ways I never would have thought possible. Yeah. My great aunt, so my grandma had triplet siblings, which was amazing back in that time. But my great aunt, so my grandma's sister, was a church secretary for like 60 years. And she would always say to me, why are you going into ministry? Church people are the worst. And by the way, like I don't even know if she knew Jesus. I just know she was a church secretary for a long time. And like the longer I've been in ministry, the more I agree with her. As a church person, can we get an amen? Like church people are the worst. We're the worst. And all the more reason why we need the Spirit of God to move among us, to soften hearts, to move us to love. We so often operate in judgment and lovelessness. And I want the Spirit of God to move us in love. I had an amazing conversation with Chad yesterday, the day before. We were talking about issues of conflict in the life of the church. And Chad said, man, as you look at all the biblical principles, like my kids know these things. I said, yeah, what's fascinating is your kids can give you those answers until somebody broke their Legos. And now we don't care about like biblical justice at all. And like it's in the moments of conflict, trial, travail that we need the Spirit of God to move among the people of God, which is why I want to contend for a Spirit-filled ministry, not just say we value it or to say it's our distinctive, but to contend for it. And that word is born out of like my desperateness for God to move. It's not a despair because I have an amazing confidence that God will fulfill every single thing he's promised. I just don't want to miss his fulfillment of anything he's promised. I want to see more and more and more and more of it. And to whatever degree he will see fit to let me play, I want to contend for that. And like, I think maybe that I have this language of contending in my heart because I have some Pentecostal friends. I don't know if you guys have Pentecostal friends. You need them if you don't have them. Because man, like they operate in a realm of faith that I don't. Now, I'd like them to operate in a realm of discernment that I'd like to think I do, or theological grounding or something else that I think I do. But I hear all my Pentecostal friends talking about, I'm just believing God for this. I'm like, I want to believe God for that. I want to believe God for that. And my friend Kyle all the time says, oh yeah, I'm contending for this in prayer. I'm contending for this in prayer. What he means is he's fighting for something. He's struggling. He's getting sweaty. He's going after it. He's not just doing the Christian platitude of, oh, I'll pray for that and walking away. He's actually going to the mat with God and saying, God, you've said you'll do this. Will you do it? You've said you'll do this. Will you do it? God, do you know what my neighbors say about you? I just think about the way my friend Thad mocks and derides the person of Jesus. I think like, God, unless you awaken that man's heart, nothing can do that. Like, are you going to let him talk about you like that? Like, would you show your power? Would you show your might? So I think maybe I'm just getting old enough and unimpressed with myself enough that I'm contending for things in the spirit in a new way. And I want to see Frontline be a culture that contends. Like, we are fighting for this. And I want us to think about specifically what it would look like to be a culture that contends for prophetic ministry in the power of the Spirit. What would it look like to contend for this? Not just to say, we believe it. Not just to say, oh, it's possible. Not just to say, well, God could do this if he wants. Not just to say, oh, God really ministers through my friend in that way. You should meet my friend. No, like, I want to contend for these things, all of us. And as we contend in them, to walk in them. And as we walk in them, to celebrate them. And to realize if something's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. Yeah. Yeah. Do we actually like believe that and walk in that of like, hey, can I take a huge risk and share this with you? This might not be from the Lord at all. But it's born out of a heart that believes he speaks, and a heart that believes that his word will bless you, and a heart that wants to pray for you and honor you as a human being, whether or not this is the Spirit of God speaking this or not. Something's worth doing, it's worth being terrible at. Man, the way we will raise the water level in our church and in our city to minister in the presence and the power of the Spirit of the living God is to be willing to suck at stuff. And to delight in that. Man, this is worth doing. I will try and 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 try again. I remember John Wimber way back in the day, well, it's like, that's my, by God's beautiful grace, that's my history. I came to faith in the Vineyard Church in the midst of the Toronto revival, having been raised in a Bible church in Oklahoma, but like seeing that Christianity wasn't just about politics and morality. That's what I thought my whole life. But I actually walked into this church and was confronted with the presence of God. So like my early days of following Jesus were listening to John Wimber talk like it was the most important words on earth. And I remember Wimber saying, I'd rather pray for 1,000 people and see nobody get healed than pray for nobody and see nobody get healed. I'd just rather do that. I would rather minister throughout the day and ask God 10,000 times, what are you doing here? What do you have to speak to this person? Or how might you want to minister to this person and get nothing or get it wrong than never ask? I want to contend for that, and I want you to contend for that with me. So I just want to name three things I want us to contend for to that end. And then I want us to just take a second and pray for each other. I think we've got time because I'll be fast. So what if I talk for like 7 minutes and then we pray for like 15? Can we do that? JJ, does that work under your clock? Thank you, JJ. Josh, does that work under your clock? Josh is like, I'm contending to not be asked any questions. Hey, if we're gonna see ministry in the presence and the power of the Spirit rise here, if we're gonna see prophetic prayer and listening prayer grow here, we've got to contend for at least three things, okay? We have to contend for watchfulness, we have to contend for obedience, and we have to contend for celebration. We have to contend for watchfulness. We have to contend for obedience. And we have to contend for celebration. Now, here's the ground zero for all of us. And God help us grow. God help us grow. God help us grow. A watchful spirit grows out of someone that's planted in the soil of communion with God himself. Like, it never ceases to amaze me that if I begin my day by setting myself before the Lord and asking him to speak to me, how often does he bless others with what he did just through my basic obedience to open his word and say, God, you're sovereign over everything. You create and sustain the universe. You are Lord. Help me start here and speak to me. And open his word and take him at his word. It's like, oh, why did that psalm come to my mind as I was praying for that person? I read it this morning. And it's like, this isn't Ouija or this isn't math. This is just basic kingdom principles, man. You fill your heart with the truths of God's kingdom. And guess what he does? He's like, hey, share that with them. Yeah. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. But if you want to contend for watchfulness, you got to contend for your own heart to be alive in the presence of God. Yeah. Have to. You have to. But think about how you can contend for watchfulness such that we can minister in prophetic prayer. Watchfulness just simply requires we ask the question, God, what are you doing here? God, what are you doing here? I find myself more and more asking that question all the time. God, what are you doing here? God, what are you doing here? God, what are you doing here? It's funny because I'm socially bold, but I'm also socially awkward. So if you've hung out with me, you're like, Collie, loud on stage, awkward in person. I'm just owning that. I love people. I love people, and I am awkward. Can't help it. But what hasn't helped my awkwardness is I've just committed before the Lord to, in moments that start to get shaky or rocky, when someone's either sharing something with me that seems really anxious or really fraught with conflict or untrue, I'll just stop and ask God, what are you doing here? God, what are you doing here? And now you take a man who's generally the largest in the room and most often the most awkward in the room, and now someone's talking, and this guy gets quiet. I've had people say, oh man, like, Collie's intense. He just stares at you. I'm not trying to be Yoda. I'm literally aware that I am weak, deficient, a contingent human being, and the last thing I want to do is operate out of my flesh, presuming, oh, I've seen this 1,000 times before. Let me give this person some advice. Let me solve a problem. Let me share an amusing antidote. Let me do the thing we all do, which is sinful and corrupt and weird, of like, oh yeah, that's nothing. Here's what my story in that. As opposed to just stopping and going, God, what are you doing here? What are you saying? And I believe Romans 8:1 is true, by the way. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, which, check this out. If that's true, it means every single thing that God appoints in your life is redemptive. Everything. You want to argue with him? Everything. And if everything that God appoints in my life is redemptive, then I can ask questions like, God, what gift are you trying to give me in this moment? God, where are you inviting me to learn? Where are you inviting me to grow? Where do you want me to stretch out in faith? Where do you want me to depend on you in a way that I never have before? That's what watchfulness looks like. It looks like someone who knows the heart of God, who knows what it's like to commune with him, who knows his character. You know how you learn his character? Read his word. Read his word. Who knows his character is like, oh, wait a minute. I've seen this before. And someone's like, what do you mean you've seen this before? Chronicles. This is how God moves. And so then I start to ask, hey, God, is this what you're doing here? And that, hey, I'm not encouraging that Frontline raise the waterline of awkwardness. Y'all are awkward enough already. I'm asking that you be willing to contend with God to raise your own level of watchfulness. That we're just asking the question, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I had a friend who would regularly say, so often ministering prophetically or ministering in the discernment of the Spirit of God feels like being on a sailboat on a lake that has no wind in the air. But he says, what's crazy is if you raise the sail, you realize there's tons of wind in the air. I just don't perceive it. So where are there places in our lives where we could just practice hoisting the sail? Practice hoisting the sail. Practice hoisting the sail and knowing what wind looks like so we can move. Like, how much would the waterline of prophetic ministry in your own life raise if you just started with the thing of like, is God sovereign over everything? Are we in agreement on that?
Yeah.
Okay, God's sovereign over everything. Does God love his people? Okay, does God desire that none would perish, but that all would come to know him and have eternal life? Okay, if we start with those three things, does the Spirit of God inhabit all who are regenerate? Okay, does God still speak? Man, seems like you have the most exciting life anyone could ever have. Okay, God, you're sovereign over everything. You love everybody. You want people to know you, and you speak. What about now? What are you doing here? What are you doing in this awkward moment with my sister? What are you doing in this tense moment with my roommate? What are you inviting me to see in this situation that did not go the way I thought it was going to go? What are you inviting me to see when this person comes up for prayer every Sunday, but I don't think it's really prayer that they want. I think it's something else that they want. So before I just do the thing of like praying again, hey, can I lay my hand on your shoulder? Sure. God, what are you doing here? This person comes up for prayer every Sunday, and I think they want you less than anyone else in this room. What are you doing? Watchfulness. Raising the sails, raising the sails, raising the sails, and constantly in friendship and communion with your God, asking, what are you up to? What would happen if you just got curious in the realms of the Spirit? God, what are you doing? And then as you contend for watchfulness, you contend equally for obedience. Because here's the scary thing. When you ask God what he's doing, he'll tell you. He'll show you. He'll go, hey, did you notice that person over there? And I'm like, I'm busy. Told Katie I was going to be home 25 minutes ago. Can we just agree that you're not going to talk with me about that person I noticed over there? Because you did draw my attention to them. See, like, I'm asking for God to raise my level of hearing his voice in the small things, which means that I've got to raise my level by his grace of obeying in the small things. I shared some of this from my heart with our elders and wives the other night. I was like, hey, I don't have a doubt that any of us, even in this room, and there's a lot of you I don't know well, I don't doubt that any of us in this room, in the large issues of your life, would habitually give yourself over to disobedience. Now, I think all of us, in any matter of our life, in the right circumstances, would yield to the flesh and give in to disobedience. But I don't think in the large issues of your life, basic truth-telling, basic fidelity, basic commitment, you're going to be habitual in disobedience. The large matters. But I want to see revival born out of this momentum grown through obedience in the smallest, tiniest things. The smallest, tiniest things of like, okay, hey God, I saw that, and I know that you know that I saw that, because apart from you, I wouldn't have seen that. God, would you give me grace to trust you that provisions have been made for everything right now? And whether it's my fear or my selfishness or my self-righteousness or my desire not to be seen as that kind of guy, I'm going to obey you. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think we need to grow in. To raise the waterline of prophetic ministry does not mean we raise the waterline or the frequency of prophetic talk. Because you can turn an impression from the Spirit of God into a simple question. Hey, man, where'd you grow up? Like, well, why'd you ask him that question? Because I sense there's real darkness related to his family life in his hometown. But instead of just going, man, the Spirit seems to have revealed to me that these two things happened in your childhood, because I could be wrong. Hey, tell me about your dad. Hey, you got siblings? Collie, we're trying to get to lunch, man. It's like renewal lunch. Why would you ask that? I don't know, man. Something in my spirit sensed that there's issues there that he's carrying them now. Obedience in the small things. Like the community I came to faith in, they had this language all the time, which like old school Vineyard people talked about being naturally supernatural. I want to see that raise again of like, this is just the way we live, right? The Spirit of God indwells us. This is how we operate. But another phrase that was just so common to us all the time is impressions have to have expression. Impressions should have expression. If the Spirit of God impresses something on me, how do I stop right now and go, how do I obey that? Because here's the thing, man. I think we're saved by grace, and I think God loves to lavish unimaginable riches on us. I also know that God stewards things. And if I'm disobedient with his voice, he's not going to send me to hell. But he also might just stop talking. I think we could back that up with chapter and verse. It's like, I want to, oh God, even now, I just pray for my brothers and sisters, I pray for myself. Do not let me talk about being obedient in small things, but actually like cultivate a life where I just close out your voice. Holy Spirit, would you heighten our sensitivity? Would you give us more grace so that we obey? I can't remember what war movie it was in, but there was a guy that was rubbing a penny or something on his finger. And this guy's like, what are you doing? He's like, man, I realize that if I can heighten the sensitivity of my trigger finger, I can be clearer with my shots. Now, I'm like the least gun experienced person in the world. And I know there are people in here that have like, know if that's true or not. But that's the image I got as we prayed. Of like, what could we do to like make ourselves, to make things more tender? That's what he was doing. How can we make our hearts more tender to receive from the Spirit of God? And I promise you, obedience will do that. Obedience will do that. Impressions have to have expression. And you can take impressions from the Lord and turn them into questions. And if you do that, if you believe God's sovereign over everything, you believe he speaks, and you believe that it's not necessary for you to be recognized as a prophet, for us to be raising the waterline of prophetic ministry in our church, do you realize how many things that frees you up to do? And hey, if nothing else, if you misheard the Spirit of God, you get to know somebody better. Hey, tell me, do you have, and you can personalize things with yourself. I've just realized that I want us to grow in the prophetic of normalizing the voice of God such that we don't have to be awkward because we're already awkward enough. But like you can take impressions from the Spirit and personalize them to yourself. Hey man, when I was in fifth grade, I had this really profound encounter with blah, 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 blah. Do you ever have anything like that? Now I've just asked a question. Nope. I didn't. And the answer is like, nope, I didn't have anything like that in my life. Cool. What was fifth grade like for you? Who's your teacher? I just do stuff like that. And if you can be curious and obedient, our relational level will raise. I don't think that'd be bad at all. I want us to contend for watchfulness. I want us to contend for obedience. And hey, man, like, I don't want to stop Marquise without honoring you. No idea what the Spirit of God did in you on Sunday. Like, you rocked my world. You gave me gifts in that moment that, hey, I'll get to keep forever. I might even forget the words, but the presence of God and the love of God and the power of my Father that you offered me in that moment, you're like, hey, man, I don't even know. You're about to go preach. Sorry for doing this, but, like, I just have this. And, like, what that was obedience in a small thing that might have been a massive thing for you, or you might flow like that every day, which if you do, I want to hang out with you more. Because I was like, brother, like flipped the cap of my skull back so far. I was like, God, how am I supposed to preach now? And the Spirit of God said, take what you're experiencing right now and preach from that place. Obedience in a small thing. And I wanted to celebrate it. I didn't even think about it, but that's my next point. What an amazing segue. Because I just think if we're going to contend to be watchful, we're going to contend to obey. We've got to contend to celebrate. Hey, man, thanks for taking that risk. Hey, man, that was beautiful. Hey, man, I see the heart of my Father in you. I just love it that you will always move towards something in prayer. Reiner, I didn't know it was your birthday, but like, I woke up wanting to honor you and wanting to encourage you. Like, I don't know if you feel this tension. I don't know if this is from the Lord or not. I delight to be in your presence. And you carry this intense prophetic spirit about you and this intense playful spirit about you. And you're an unbelievably tender man. And so I thought about that this morning. I was like, I just want to honor you for that. And I wonder if you feel trapped in that, because like the prophetic sometimes is intense and hard, and the playfulness, like sometimes people don't take it well, and you love all those things. And I thought, I mean, like God made you that way and it's beautiful. It's why I want to hang out with you more. And on your birthday, God made you that way. So Father, I just ask that you honor my brother, and I ask if he feels tension because you've made him such a beautifully tender man, strong and tender and playful. And he loves truth. So Father, don't let John feel in a bind. You made him that way. Let that be your bind. So Holy Spirit, would you just give him more strength? Would you make him more playful? Would you release more of your voice? And would you just do more of what you're doing right now? God, give John energy in the secret place. Does anybody have anything that the Spirit of God has impressed on you even now to pray for John? Yeah.
Just for you guys to be able to hear why that moment, Kim could have said anything, really, could have said anything in that spot. Just to speak freedom over, sometimes it's just don't know, like early morning, every year for my birthday, I just get up real early as I can to spend as much time as I can with Jesus, to ask for birthday presents, and to read the psalm of my song, you know, my age, and whatever else he might give me, and I asked him for
contending for that. I'm just praying in this moment, John, that your tribe of playful, tender prophets would increase. God, would you multiply playful, tender prophets? And would you honor John's heart of evangelism and his heart of tenderness and love and shepherding? And God, would you multiply our familiarity with your word to the point that we just share more, fill all of our sails, and teach us to celebrate.